Aloha mai kakou. This is John Tilton, Senior Pastor of New Hope Oahu. In a moment, a message from our founding pastor, Wayne Cordero, on Words of New Hope.
Just the other day, someone said to me, Wayne, I'd obey God if God just talked to me. He said, have you heard God audibly? I said, yeah. You're kidding. You haven't? No. I'll say, here, I'll show you how. Recite with me John 3:16. Ready? Go. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You just heard God speak audibly. God sounds just like the Bible.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. On the road of life, God has given us a map. It's called the Bible. And as you follow the signs, the road will lead to him. But if you're not reading the map, you're going to take a wrong turn. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Missing the Mark.
Would you take out your notes with me as we take a look at the cross, as we pause and take communion? Then we're going to talk a little bit about the kingdom of heaven. But when we talk about communion and one of the entry points into God's best, we never want to take communion as some obligation or some mechanical thing that we do from time to time. We wanted to just go back to the cross and see that it's really an entry point, an invitation to God's best. We want to talk about that. Now, sometimes we have sort of a misconceived notion that if you can say all the right words and you got all the information down and you can kind of talk the talk, then you're really there. When the Lord says, nah, you could really have missed the mark, even though you've got all the lingo down and vocabulary. Let's read what he says at the top of our notes together. Ready? Go. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So what is more of the identifying mark? Not if we've got all the info down and all the lingo down, but look at life. Are we doing the will of the Father? That's the acid test. That's the litmus test. And we're going to talk about how do we get that to take place? How can he build on firm foundation and not just have all the lingo and the information? Because you see, God's word can sometimes come into our head and not penetrate much further than that. And that's called information. Or we can let it sink into our hearts and we call that inspiration. But it really doesn't take root until we allow it to reach the very extremities of our life where what we do reflects him, where we walk and what we see and how we hear and what we think. Because if it's just in our head, we call it information. Drops down, it's called inspiration. But when we get it into our extremities and we live it, it's called incarnation. That's where the Lord begins to be seen among us. He's incarnated. Now, if it's just information, that'll make you a Pharisee. If it drops into your heart, it'll make us fanatical. Because isn't that true? You can come out of a service and go, woo-hoo, that was so good. Woo-hoo, that concert. Woo, chicken skin. Woo. And then pretty soon we're looking for another one to go to and another one so we can get bigger bumps on our skin every time. Oh, I'm more big now. More big the chicken skin. I like now turkey skin. Oh, no, I'm more big, you know. And we're looking for that. Well, we're inspired, but really we have no intention of it changing our lives at all. So we start hopping around at looking for all of these things that kind of give us a new experience. But the Lord says, no, no, I want to work into your lives because I don't want you to be a Pharisee or someone who's a fanatic or a zealot. I want you to be, when it works out into the extremities of our lives, that's where it's called you become a disciple. And as disciples, the Lord enters or invites to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But that's where the life change starts. That's where the character is formulated. And that's what people begin to see. Well, how does that happen then? So it doesn't just stick in our heads as information or drop a little bit more into inspiration where we're just kind of excited and we like the goosebumps. How can we become disciples? Well, would you write in number one as we go through Matthew 7? We'll study this together. But number one, would you write down, let what God says affect you deeply. Let what God says affect you deeply. No, not just give you chicken skin. Let it change you. You've got to welcome the Lord. Invite the Lord's word to do that. Let it affect you deeply. Because you see, someone once said to me, Wayne, inside of every single one of us is a little Pharisee just waiting to grow up. We just want more information, more stuff, so we can talk the talk. But the Lord is saying, no, I want you to obey my Heavenly Father's will so that it's seen in your life. That's the acid test. Everything else, he says, I just go right beyond that. Otherwise, we'll be like this, what he gives us a parable about in a building, a metaphor of building. Let's read this. Ready? Under number one, go. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? And I will declare to them, I never knew you, huh? Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Wait a minute. If you're doing miracles, you call that lawlessness, God? Depart from me? What are you saying? God is saying it is possible to operate at some high level of faith and high level of information, but still miss the mark where the Father's will is not being done in every area of life. So there is an inconsistency, an incongruity in life. But Lord, they said that they're doing miracles. There was one who did exactly that. And now let me give you a little case in point. And he operated at a high level of miracles, it seemed like, and yet missed the mark. When I first went to Hilo, being from a Pentecostal background after coming to know the Lord, I have seen wonderful miracles. And I, in fact, here at New Hope, people are getting healed and people write me emails how God has touched their bodies and changed them and miracles happen. But this friend of mine from Kona called me and said, hey, there's this evangelist over here and he's doing a miracle crusade. So I said, praise God, you know, let's go. And so I went over there. And he operated in what we call or know as a word of knowledge. But this guy was amazing. I mean, we were in this place and he would walk up to a lady and say, your name is Mabel. And she'd say, yeah, how'd you know? And he'd pause for a little bit. And he'd say, at 16, you ran away from home and you're still holding something against your mother. Her eyeballs got really big. Yeah. And you have a bad back and you're needing God to heal you. Yeah. Well, God's going to heal you. And she'd get up and it's like she got healed. And he went to people and would speak to them like that. And these words of knowledge is amazing, right on the money. Well, after the service was done, we were driving to get something to eat. And I said, you know, that was cool, but there's something funny. Something's not right. And a friend of mine said, yeah, I felt that too. There's a check, but I don't know what it is. Well, about 3 months later, an article came out in the newspaper that named this guy and said, what I thought was a hearing aid was actually a little receiver. And there was someone in the backstage from prayer requests that had been handed in earlier from all these people. This lady was reading these things off to him. He was hearing them and say, okay, you're right in front of Mabel. Your name is Mabel. Yeah. Okay, what else? What else? What else? And this person would read him information and then he would speak it to her and he had a little receiver in his ear. And so it just showed him up as quite fraudulent. And I thought, that guy. Then I said, but Lord, that lady, it was as if she got healed though. This guy's a fraud. How come she got healed? And this is what the Lord whispered to me, because I honor my word and I honored her faith and I'll deal with him later. See that? She had faith. She believed God for healing and God honored his word. He'll deal with this guy later. You see, this person was operating at a high level of faith and the Lord said, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Because you see, we can have a tendency to use God's word for our own purposes, can't we? Yeah, that might be an extreme case, but we do that all the time. God is not an end, he's a means for my promotion. He's a means to get me more money. He's a means to get me a little more priority. He's a means of me getting my way. And if he ever gets in my way, then I put him aside for a while until he straightens out. And we do that very subtly and we never realize it. And so we don't change. We just demand God change. And the Lord is saying, you can't do that. Because if I'm going to build on solid ground, you got to get you out of the way. So how do we start all this? Would you write in number two? Let God build on solid rock. Let God build on solid rock. Let's read the scripture under number two. Ready? Go. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came. and the winds blew, burst against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock, on bedrock, all the way down to bedrock. Would you circle two words? Here's acts. Those two are connected. And that makes you what kind of a man? What kind of a woman? Wise. And that is how the Lord says is a process that allows him to build all the way down on bedrock. You've got to let him move the sand away. We're going to hear about that in a moment. But God's going to move sand away, or things that I have in between me and God's best. Self, image, desire for more, whatever it might be. And I say, God, just build on that. And the Lord says, I can't, because it's going to be like sand between what I build and the foundation of bedrock. And if there's sand in between, can you see when things happen? It shifts, it's changeable, it's movable, it's negotiable, it's sellable, it's buyable, it's auctionable. And God says, I've got to remove all the sand, even to the last granules of sand, because even if there's a few granules, it's still shifty, changey. And the Lord says, I've got to remove all of that. Because you see, sometimes we say, God, yeah, I know I got some problems, but just bless me anyway. Listen carefully. God does not want to bless you as much as he wants to build you. See, we can develop a whole religion. It just says, God, bless me, but my life is in shambles. And God says, I can't do that. If I just bless you, it's like painting over rotted walls or wallpapering over it. Just bless me, make it look good. The Lord says, no, I want to rebuild you. Well, that'll mean I have to change some things. Then so be it. And I start sanding, God says. I'm going to sand all the way down to bare metal so that I can build on solid rock. Oh, just bless me. No, I want to build you. And oh, we've developed in today's American society a wonderful religion of just bless me. And we go after blessings, but God is saying, no, I'm less concerned what you're doing and a whole lot more concerned what you're becoming. I'm a lot less concerned in how much money you're making and a whole lot more concerned in the mark you're making. Because you see, one is temporal and the other is eternal. And the Lord speaks to us about being people who are disciples in an eternal way, because soon we're going to be gone. This place is moving at 66,000 miles an hour. That's how fast this earth is going through space, spinning on its axis at 23 degrees. And a few more spins, we'll be done. We don't have that much time here. So God is more concerned about eternal things than temporal. And as he changes our hearts, we sort of sync up with him, and then we start to see and understand and say, that's it. And then you begin to see the entrance to the kingdom of heaven. And then we begin to cooperate with his eternal causes and eternal purposes and not our temporal ones, and use God as a rabbit's foot and a genie in a lamp. And so he says, let me build, not just bless. Oh, that'll be a part of it. But let me build first so that the foundation is solid on the ground and there's no shifting. So let me build on solid ground. You see, if my faith is shifting, it's sort of like I'm compromising and changeable, then you know what'll happen? You'll get tempted all the time. If your faith is changeable, compromisable, negotiable, if you're on the auction block and I can be bought or sold to the highest bidder, then temptation always seeks those that have ambivalence in their life. But those whose foundation is solid on the rock and it won't change, even though the winds and the rains come down and burst against the house, it won't fall because it's solid. But you watch, if you have any changeableness within your soul, I tell you, temptation will hit you like crazy. Because the devil marks you out as someone who will compromise. Just recently, I read in the paper how the human body, if it were sold off for parts, you know, your cornea was sold, your kidneys were sold, and a gram of DNA and the bone marrow was sold off. They figured it all out. You are worth $45 million. Pretty good, huh? You're worth more dead than alive. You know that? Yeah, you're worth $45 million, but after they sell off all you got for spare parts, you ain't going to enjoy any of the $45 million. You're dead. But I thought, wow, that's quite a bit, $45 million. But I thought, Lord, they missed one part that's intangible. and they didn't list it. The value of a soul that makes that thing alive. The value of a soul, how much would that be worth? I'll tell you what it's worth. I don't know exactly, but I'll give you a glimpse. It took all that heaven had to redeem your soul. We can't even put a figure on that. Do you understand how valuable that is? And what's your soul? Your soul is you. What makes you eternal? It includes your faithfulness, your loyalty, your commitment, your integrity, your purity of heart, your desire to stay the course, your keeping your hand to the plow. All of these things, that's you. Those principles that God infused in you, put in you, deposited in you, that makes up, as it were, your soul. But you know what happens is, if God cannot build on solid foundation, if there's granules of sand in between, then our soul, which includes all of those principles, the eternal aspects of God fused into us, that becomes saleable. That becomes negotiable. And without other people seeing it, you know what will start to happen? There'll be price tags that hang on to your commitment. There'll be price tags on your marriage. Oh, well, I'm married to Anna, but and I'm waiting for someone to pay the price. Now, you might not see that outside, but in the inside, that's exactly what's happening. There's a price tag on my marriage. There's a price tag on my faith. Oh, I love God, but it's a pretty good joint there. You know, I mean, this is good stuff. Well, oh, boy. And you see, there's an ambivalence. And as soon as there's an ambivalence, the devil puts a mark on you because you're on shifting sand. You understand? There's still sand between what God wants to build and the foundation. That's why God sometimes has to bear down a little bit and grind to bare metal. Let him do that. Let what God says to you affect you deeply. Let it happen so that he builds on solid rock, because otherwise it's shifty and there's price tags hanging on my loyalty, my commitment, my integrity, the decisions that I make, my family, my faith, my ministry. They all have price tags hanging on it. And the devil will find some way to pay that price so that you exchange your soul for the world. But what profits a man if he gains the whole world in exchange for his soul? What would man give in exchange for his soul? That's exactly what he's saying. Your soul is so valuable. Don't put price tags on it. And the only way to get it solid is you've got to let God clear out all the sand of excuses and blame and maybes and ambivalence and, it might be a good option, or no one will find out. Those are all granules of sand. Nobody sees me. No one will find out. God will forgive. All of these things are granules of sand. Let him clean it out so he can build on solid ground. If you're ambivalent, here's one of the best things. If you're a college student, identify with Jesus Christ early on. I mean, first, second day of school, go out in the campus center, open your Bible and do devotions so that everybody sees who you identify with. You watch, when you're solid with Christ, temptation falls off by about 80%. Well, it doesn't completely go away, but a lot of it goes away. And when I was in college, I had just come to know Christ, and I got this shirt called Jesus is Lord written on it from Campus Crusade, I think it was. And I was hurrying up to get ready for school, and I was still struggling with my faith. You know, some people, when they become a Christian, it's like they're bang, they're like saints of God the next day. Not me. I was half like demon still, you know, and pulling myself out of the world. I'm one of those guys. I started smoking when I was 13 and doing Pacalola when I was 15. So when I got saved at 19, my brain was black. And I would crush up one of my joints or, you know, cigarettes, throw it in the rubbish can, say, I don't want that anymore. That night, I'm in the rubbish can putting it back together. Yeah, I mean, it was a tough thing for me until I pulled myself out of that. Well, I'm still coming out of that, and I pulled his T-shirt out of the drawer, and it said, Jesus is Lord, and I thought, man, I ain't wearing this to school today, man. I put that aside. I said, that's my bed shirt. I'll wear those to, like, Bible studies, but not to school. And I pulled out my Budweiser shirt. I had a big Bud shirt on, so I was going to put that on. And I remember the Lord saying, no, I want you to wear that other one. And I remember thinking, no way, no way. And I just was so convicted. I thought, oh, man. So I put this thing on, you know, it's in Jesus' Lord. Because I thought, you know, when you're in class, if you have a Budweiser shirt, you'll get invited to all the keggers, you know, the weekend keggers. Isn't that right? But if I have one that says Jesus is Lord, nobody invites me to those things. You ever notice that? They don't want you at their kegger. So I'm really ashamed to say this, but I had this thing on my shirt, and the whole day I'm holding like this. You know, hey, how's it? Sore, my arm sore. But you see, when you finally identify with the Lord, temptation just drops off. But if you're ambivalent and they don't know where you are, oh, you'll get tempted all the time. You know why? Because you're buyable, you're sellable, and your soul is still on the auction block. You are a slave about to be bought. But you know what Jesus did at the cross? He purchased the redemption of our soul so that we don't have to be slaves anymore to sin on an auction block. Do you understand? He set us free from all of that. And he's saying that freedom only comes when you let me build on solid ground. Then you're not shiftable. You're not changeable. You've got to decide. I was talking to a photographer the other day, and he had one of those electronic focus or autofocus cameras where you push it down just halfway. And you know what it does? It sends out an invisible infrared beam. When it's a little dark, you can't quite see the focus. It sends out an infrared beam, sends it back to the lens, and it measures the exact distance. And you can hear the lens go zzz, zzz, zzz. And then you click, and the flash goes off, and you get a perfectly in-focus picture. But if you're shooting a picture of a crowd of people, five or six people, and some are a little further in and some are a little further back, and you're trying to focus, and it doesn't know which one you want to focus on, that one, this one, that one. And so it's moving around, shooting these infrared beams, and it's different measurements coming back. So you can hear the lens going, because it's saying, which one do you want to focus on? And you know, sometimes if we have an ambivalent faith, you can see, you know I'm committed to my marriage, but ooh, ooh. And you can hear like Christians all over going. And the devil listens for that. He can hear it. Ah, ha, 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 ha. You hear that sound? Come, demons. And they go after you because you don't know what you're focusing. You don't know yet. And God is saying, help, let me build on solid foundation. So when I build, you know which way you're going. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And when that happens, oh, there is a power that comes into your life. The cross is what invites us to that kind of confidence. And there's a freedom. There's a freedom. Your mind rests. There's a rest in the Lord. And that's what Hebrews talks about. There remains a Sabbath rest in the Lord. That means I don't have to worry about all that stuff. I've chosen to follow Him, and I can rest in that. And so let God build on solid rock. Well, he said, where does all that start, Wayne? Where do we start? Would you write in number 3? Start by obeying what God has already revealed. Start by obeying. Because sometimes we say, well, okay, all God has to do is tell me what He wants me to do, and I'll do it, praise God, I'll do it. Well, start by obeying what He's already revealed. Let's read the scripture, go. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house, with sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came. And the winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Ah, you mean the foundation had sand on it? Uh-huh, there was sand, and God built on the sand part. Yeah, that's foolish. Make sure that you allow God to build on solid rock. Don't build that on sand. Build it on solid rock. Cooperate with them, because you see, the foundations of your life will be tested. And if there's sand in between, it's going to shift. But if there's no sand, it would be solid. Okay, where do we start? Start by obeying God. Okay, all God has to do is speak to me, right on the wall, handwriting on the wall. Let me see a miracle. I'm ready to go. God has to just speak to me. I'm waiting. I haven't heard God. Okay, we'll just keep on going. No, wait a minute. Just the other day, someone said to me, Wayne, I'd obey God if God just talked to me. He said, have you heard God audibly? I said, yeah. You're kidding. Yeah, you haven't? No. I'll say, here, I'll show you how to hear him audibly. You want to know how? Recite with me John 3:16. Ready? Go. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You just heard God speak audibly.
You've been listening to part one of a message entitled Missing the Mark. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. For Pastor Wayne Cordero, I'm Dale Gibbs, wishing you God's very best and aloha.